Hello, and welcome to the Nano Nano Film Improv Comedy Podcast. I'm Dave Herron. If you're looking for a podcast where an experienced expert in improv comedy will tell you how to do things better, then you've come to the wrong place. This podcast is a cathartic experience for me. It details the trials and tribulations that I'm having or have had in the past in my journey in improv comedy. Sometimes I'll share with you some small successes I've had, some learnings that I've had that I might share with you as well. But ultimately, it's an opportunity for me to have a whinge about some of the struggles I'm having in improv comedy. I've been doing improv for a number of years now and have been very fortunate to have done improv with a number of very talented improvisers from across the country and further afield as well, from whom I've been able to learn a few tricks and tips from along the way. And today's podcast is about the why. Why am I not doing the why? So I should preface this by saying that some of the scenes I've been doing recently have been absolutely fine. I've enjoyed doing them. They felt more and more less effort. Does that make sense? They've become increasingly less effort as I've been doing them. So I'm not in any way trying to be overcritical of what I'm doing. It's just when I watch back some of the videos of some of the improv sets that I've been in, I've noticed that I haven't been doing very much of the why. Explaining a bit of the backstory about my character, why they feel a certain way, why they have a certain point of view, why they may have done something. And I just wanted to explore it in this podcast today. I don't feel in any way that it's ruined the scene at all. All I'm looking to try and do is enhance it and bring the scenes that I'm in up to the next level. We're all taught in improv courses and workshops that a why brings depth. So asking why or questioning why somebody has done something and answering it adds depth to a scene. It also opens a whole world of possibilities and options that could be explored. And some of the best scenes that I've ever seen have explored the why and allow the characters in those scenes to take the scene to the next level. So what prompted today's podcast was a scene I had done with a number of very talented local improvisers, where I was on stage with an improviser who was pretending to be the character Banksy, a real life character, obviously, but pretending to be Banksy. And my character was Banksy's protege, was completely in awe of Banksy, loved everything that Banksy did, wanted to be the next Banksy, and in fact, dare I say it, probably didn't think they were worthy of being the next Banksy, but being a student of Banksy for years. But at some point in the set, my character decided to shop or dob in Banksy to the authorities, who were unhappy that there had been lots of like, what they deemed as graffiti all over the local town centre. Now, whilst the set itself went very well as a narrative, and it was very well improvised by the other improvisers on stage, when I looked back at it afterwards and I thought about it, I couldn't understand why my character, the protege of Banksy, the character who was absolutely in awe and adored Banksy, would shop him, would dob him into the authorities. There was no real motive there. As I say, it didn't ruin anything. And I think the scene itself and the whole set itself went very, very well indeed. But it was just something I thought about afterwards. Why would my character do that? What was in it for them? Now, to be fair, we explored that in the scene a little bit. I wasn't offered money. I wasn't offered any form of security. And it just left me thinking afterwards, why didn't I give the why to my character? And anything would have worked. I don't think a why even needs to be rational. It doesn't have to be a rational response. It can be an irrational response, an irrational reasoning. And this was provided by a friend of mine, Alex Derry, who's an excellent improviser, in a recent set that I did with her. It was a two-prov set where we were both scientists, and she admitted to me that she had just received a £2 billion grant. Now, that was a great curveball. And the audience laughed and really enjoyed it. And it really put me on the spot, which I loved, and I really enjoyed the challenge. But her justification for it was, and experiment on us as a couple. That didn't even need to make sense, but it was a great why. Somebody had gone to get an enormous grant from the Science Council to do an experiment on us, to build a home, to build a house and a life. It provided the why and the reasoning as to why somebody would go and get a £2 billion grant. It was fantastic. So why have I not been using the why more commonly? Another example I've done was when I was with the group Lost the Plot, and we were doing a really, really great scene on time travel. I think it was smashing together two movies. I think Back to the Future and Goodfellas. And in my scene, I had created a time machine tricycle. Now, the scene was fine. Somebody got on the tricycle and went back in time. But as I look back on it afterwards, I thought, why would a scientist create a tricycle time machine? Any answer to explain that would have been fun. Again, it didn't ruin it. In fact, if anything, it was probably absolutely fine and didn't need to be dwelt upon. But it was another example where I didn't provide the why to something that I had done. I really want to start incorporating a why into my character's outlook and point of view of life. By providing a why, I can then help my other fellow improvisers with bold offers that they can use. It also provides potentially an excellent backstory, even if the why is an irrational reasoning. In fact, if anything, that might actually make it more fun. And if you look at how films use backstory, certainly films that are kind of post the 2000s, it's all now about why a character has a certain point of view. Why are the way that they are? I mean, you think about the film Joker with Joaquin Phoenix in it. That's a DC comic movie, but with real backstory as to how a character actually changed and became the Joker. The Marvel stories have it as well now. They've all got backstories as to how a villain became a certain way or a hero became a certain way, what motivated them to become the person that they are today. As well as doing improv, I also try and make films as well. And one of the films I have made in the past was a film called Stalemate, which was about a housebound elderly patient and an apathetic carer. Now, in film, it's always a little bit harder to provide the why, because unlike improv, where you can provide a totally irrational and left-field reasoning as to why a character has done something, in film, it probably has to be a little bit more grounded. So when I was writing Stalemate, I originally had an idea where the carer would end up being the long-lost prodigal son of the housebound patient. Now, in improv, that would have been absolutely fine because the why is there. You provided the why as to why a character is behaving a certain way and why the character might be apathetic. But in the film, it just felt a little bit cheesy, to be completely honest. But what I did do is I explained how the apathetic carer had become that certain way, why they had lost their motivation to care for patients. I won't explain that now. You'll have to go and watch the film itself to understand what that rationale was. But film does it. It does it more and more now. And actually, audiences expect to have that backstory. If you haven't got a backstory, it almost doesn't feel real in itself. So bringing the why, the context, the backstory to improv is something that I really, really want to do. And when I've seen it happen in improv scenes, even fun, jokey improv scenes, when you've suddenly got that backstory, it just gives it that whole greater degree of depth that I love as an audience member. You see, with the likes of a TJ and Dave or a Middleditch and Swatch, and indeed the Actor's Nightmare, who I'm a big, big fan of in London, you see there, their characters through their interaction provide a rationale, a why, of why someone's feeling that way. And actually, it makes the scene so much easier to navigate as an improviser, because you're not having to dream up stuff on the spot. If someone gives you a why, you can then use that and work off it. A why is a bold offer that I want to try and incorporate more of. I did the Mockumentary Now course run by Chris Mead in London, and that was also a wonderful opportunity to sit down with other improvisers in a mockumentary style setup and in an environment where it naturally leads itself to explaining a why. Almost all mockumentaries are about the characters' relationships. I mean, you could argue more than mockumentaries about character relationships. But when you're sat in front of a camera talking, the audience wants to see what is the interaction between those characters and why do they feel that way. And the course, the Mockumentary Now course, really allowed the improvisers to do that. It was fab. So more and more now, I want to use the why as the driving force behind how my characters feel and what they do. Even if that why is absurd. If we can ground that and we can take it and move it on, it becomes the central focal point for the scene that I'm doing. Of course, the other why tool that you can use is the confession as well, which is a classic improviser tool where, if you're not familiar with it, if you're in the middle of a scene and you don't know where to go, you turn around and you confess something to the other character on stage. Now, that's not exactly always a why, but it can explain the behaviour that your character is exhibiting in that scene. And again, I don't use that tool as often as I should do, and I want to try and do more of that, as I say, as the driving force behind how my characters feel and what they do on stage. So that's all I wanted to cover today. Not sure whether any of that resonates with you or not. Have you got any tricks or tips in using the why, either in improv or other forms of writing that you might do separately? I'd love to hear about them. But for now, thanks for listening, and I'll catch you in the next one.